You know, kind of like this time of the year, January 1st, I know it's really just like any other day. It has 24 hours in it just like all the others. But it kind of marks a fresh start. You're through with the old calendar of last year. And if you had in your calendar of life for last year, if you had written down all the things that had happened to you, those things would be pretty full. Maybe there were some successes. Maybe there were a few failures. Maybe there were some troubles, some good times. But you know, January 1st, you get to start all over with a fresh calendar. Yeah. Set it out. Everything is good. And what I'd like to share with you is for us to be able to learn from the past and to be able to profit by it out in the future. So, you know, as I'm seeking the Lord, okay, Lord, a new year is coming on. I see some places that, and I know you see places, that I could get up closer to you. Tools that I could use that I would have more success next year than I had last year. And so I want to share something with you. If I could put a title to what I want to talk about, it would be Things That I Think I Know. You know, there are some things even in the scripture that we can have a knowledge. We can have an assurity. I know some things. But there's also a little warning given us over in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, yes, and he shall direct your paths. That applies in the things that I think I know and the things that I know. Be real careful that I don't lean to my own understanding. There's a verse over in Jeremiah that I saw this morning. Jeremiah 9 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, yes, neither the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what does it say? Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows me. You know what? There can be something that we know. We can't, as we heard this morning about the name, it can be more than the name, but it can be what all is involved in that name for us in our life. Can you think of some other verses in the Bible of things that it tells us we can clearly know? I'll give out a few of them. If someone would get, and we would probably all know this verse, Romans 8 and 28. Yes. Tells us, whoever got Romans 8 and 28, it tells us that there are some things that we can know. Let me give out just a few more and then we'll go back. 1 John 3 and 14 through 15. And somebody with Job 19 and 25. And 2 Timothy 1 and 12. So let's go back now to the first verse, because these verses that I've given so far are things that we don't have to think we know. It tells us we can know some things. Okay, Romans 8 and 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
So in that one, I don't have to think I know. I can know all things are working together for good. And you know what? Where my first verse was, don't lean to your own understanding. You know, I'm gonna need the Lord's help that I don't lean to my own understanding there. Because I'm not going to come out with the same conclusions as this says we can. We know that all things are working together for good. So we've started over with a fresh calendar this year. So the things that happen in your life, apply Romans 8 and 28 to it. Somehow God has a purpose in this. It may be somebody doing you wrong. Look at that and say, God has some kind of purpose in this for me. There's the song that we heard this morning, Many Things About Tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I can know who holds tomorrow.
Yes, amen.
And I can know who holds my hand. Okay, in 1 John 3 and 14 through 15.
We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, when we're looking through the scriptures, you can pull out one scripture by itself, and it looks like I can make heaven my home if I love my brothers. Is that the only requirement? No. But that's one of the things that I can tell. It's one of the indicators, which it goes right on in the next verse and says, it's also an indicator that I haven't passed from death to life if I hate my brother, if I hate those around me. So we can know this is one of the indicators. There are some other things that is required for salvation, but this is one of the things that we can know. Okay, over in Job 19 and 25.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
You know, that's a small verse, but that is a powerful verse.
Yes.
That down inside me, no matter how many people in the world say there is no God, how many people in the world says there's a Big Bang Theory, none of this Bible stuff has anything to do with us. Right through that cuts this little verse. I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Yes.
If even to the point of, yes, I know he was crucified. No, I don't stop there. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know how valuable that is? You remember where we read about Jesus when he arose and the soldiers ran into town and told it? You know, it was the religious leaders that said, you say that his disciples stole him away. And if you start to get in trouble, we will take care of the trouble that you would get into for saying that you were asleep when they stole him away. You know what it says also? It says, it was commonly reported among the Jews to this day. Something that got started, that's why I think of this. It is so valuable for me to just have this knowledge. You know what? I know my Redeemer liveth.
Yes.
I know no matter what around me says, no, it couldn't have happened. I know that he liveth, and that's a very important thing for us. Okay, 2 Timothy 1 and 12.
2 Timothy 1 and 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. A knowledge that we can have. This is not things I think I know. These are things that I can know. And there's one more in that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. There's something else that we can definitely know. And while someone is looking for that, Psalms 139 and 1 through 2. Okay, and Isaiah 55 and 8 through 9. All right, so let's go back to one more of those that we can definitely know. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, who has that?
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
How valuable is that knowledge? Because every one of us are going to come to this place one day, the house of this tabernacle, it's going to be dissolved. My life is going to be gone one day.
Yes.
And here it says we can know. It says if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, you could almost take out the if. It's going to happen. We just don't know when.
Yes.
We could take that out and say we know that when our earthly house is dissolved. Here's what we can know. We can have a knowledge. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. So in these past verses are places that I can have a clear knowledge about something. But with me coming into this new year, there's some other things that I see for myself that I need to work on. The things that I think I know. There are some places, all these verses right here, where God allows us to know and understand some things. And there are some places that he reserves that understanding to himself. I'd like for us to start first with Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, if someone has that.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Okay, with those, God reserves some things to himself. But you know, I've thought of a couple instances where God took that he reserved to himself, and he allowed an individual to be able to be used by him. Those two that I thought about was, you remember this in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, when the king of Syria is coming out against the children of Israel, and Elisha hears from God. He gets a message from God to warn the king of Israel, there's an ambush being laid for you at this certain place. Avoid it. And it said not just once or twice, but several times that happened, to the point that the king of Syria was saying, someone in our ranks is telling. Remember that story? And someone there had the knowledge to where it's none of us, but there's a man of God over there that is able to know what you're thinking. Yes. In your secret chamber. When you're going to go to bed and you haven't even said anything to anybody, there's a man over there. You know what? It wasn't that man. It was God taking a special place that he has reserved to himself to know the thoughts and the intents of a person and to reveal it to Elisha. It was done again. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And when he woke up, he said, I need y'all to tell me what this dream means. And his counselors, they all said, good, get started telling us and we'll tell you what it is. You remember that one? He said, that's the problem. I forgot what that dream is. And if you're for real, you'll tell me what the dream is and you'll also tell me what it means. Remember, they were saying, there's nobody that can do that. That's reserved for gods to be able to work in that area. You know, in that place, God himself, in this special place that he works, where he understands men's hearts, he revealed to Daniel what was down inside the king's heart that he had already forgotten. That's amazing how those work. But what I want to tell you is a lot of times God reserves that to himself. And if I'm not careful, I will start trying to kind of step into that area, the area that I need to back off and say, you know what? It's God that knows a person's heart and not me. This is what I feel like is one of the tools for me to use this year in my life. I want to remember what we heard this morning. One of the attributes of God is he's omniscient.
Yes.
He has an infinite awareness and understanding. I'd like for us to look at another verse before we go to Psalms 139. Go over to Ecclesiastes, right at the very last of the book, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yes.
Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. You know, this is one of those special places that God has reserved to himself. He judges the secret things, things that have not even been spoken, and he judges that. Okay, Psalms 139 and 1 through 2.
Psalms 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
You understand my thoughts afar off.
Yes.
You know, thoughts that have never been turned into words yet, God himself understands that. We see that in the story about the man that was going to pull down his barns and build greater. You know, he did not, from the way that scripture is written, he never told anybody about it. He said within himself,
yes,
his thoughts are working. And God judged those thoughts as if they had been spoken. So this just kind of tells us God's up here. We're down here. Yes. He has a special place reserved to himself. And I want to realize, I don't want to step into his boundary. And I'll explain it here in a little bit. God himself is the one that truly knows another person's thoughts. I can have something done to me, and I see what was done, but you know what? I cannot be one of those that can judge why it was done, totally. When I step into that area, if I could remember today, that's God's area, to know a person's heart. It brings some kind of relief to me, yes, to stay out of that territory. There's some verses, Luke 5 and 22, if someone would get that. Hebrews 4 and 12, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, and then 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. So let's start with this one on Luke 5 and 22.
But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your own hearts?
That's a valuable scripture right there. He's not talking about something that he just heard them talking between themselves. When Jesus perceived what they were thinking, and he started talking to them about what was down in their heart, that's the place that I want to be able to realize today and out this next year. That's the place that God reserves to himself. He's able to know what is in somebody's heart. Hebrews 4 and 12.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword,
piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Now this gets down real close when we talk about what's God's part and what part we have. This says that he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. You know, if I'm not careful when things happen that come against me, I can start thinking I know intents, why they did it. I think it brings a big relief to me if I can say, you know what, those pieces belong to God.
Yes, so.
Okay. 1 Samuel 16 and 7.
Oh, you said it was 16 and 7?
1 Samuel 16 and 7.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Okay. That verse is talking about when Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse. God could have easily told him which person to just go there and say, Samuel, I need to see this son. Instead, I think God had a lesson for Samuel, and maybe it's also a lesson for us through it. All he did was gave him the instruction to go to the house of Jesse. One of the sons will be it. And when the first son went by, how would you judge a king? This guy is king material. Samuel looked at him, and there was something just from looking at him that he said, this looks like king material. It doesn't say that that man answered any questions, he asked him how to do politics or anything like that. All he did was see a guy walking by.
Yes.
He judged the outward appearance, and God says, man looks on the outward appearance, I look on the heart. With this subject that we're working from today, for me wanting to do better in 2024, when things come my way, that I would realize I'm only seeing the outward appearance. I'm not talking about the outside of a person. I just see the things that have been done and what I think maybe they were thinking or what they, all those things. But to realize, you know what? God is judging the heart,
yes,
of situations. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Now that's an interesting scripture with the subject that we're looking at this afternoon. We're looking through a glass darkly. I look at things that are happening that can happen to us, And I see a picture that in my mind, this is how it is. But I'm really only seeing through a glass darkly of having the whole picture that God has. And it says in a commentary, this is an illustration to show the imperfection of our knowledge while we're here. Yes. There's a verse over in Romans 12 and 3. To everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, how does that verse apply to what we're talking about? Not to take my understanding of a situation and feel like, you know what, I can judge this situation. My opinion of how other people treat me and what they meant by it. It says over in Luke 17 and 1, it says, it is impossible,
yes,
but that offense has come. So we got us a fresh calendar. We haven't had anybody hurt us this year. But you keep on living, something's going to cross you up this year. And I think for me, I want to have this tool available that I will say, I know offenses are coming, and this one has come. For what is the purpose of it? And that I would not judge the person that brought it to me. I want to look at a verse over in Psalms. David had something happen because, you know, it would be easy for us to take things that happen out in the world and just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to have to understand that's an unsaved person that did that to me. Look over this. I saw this morning, Psalms 55 and 12. I'm not sure what was happening with this when he wrote it, but he said, it was not an enemy, yes, that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine own equal, my God, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Now look at those verses. What do I do when it's the world that comes against me and I judge it that, you know what, that's just an unsaved person? But what if it's somebody that I feel like, you know what, this is right. Offenses don't have to just come from the world. We can offend each other without realizing it.
That's true.
And I'm going to judge it. You know, it is so easy for me to not only see what he did, but to judge what the thoughts and the intents must have been for the reason of doing it. What's really important for me is to realize God has reserved a place to himself.
Amen.
And that is when it comes to the thoughts and the intents of a person, I can only see what happened. And I can judge that and say, I know why it happened. It's going to be a big help to me because as I started looking back over past years, I realized, you know what, this has given me trouble in the past. Because it's real easy when something happens that now I know why they did it.
Yes.
I know what was down inside. I know their motive. What I'd like to do out in the future is say, you know what, I don't know their motive. And if I do know their motive, there's even some things for me as a guideline there. This is a lesson for me. But let's say I know what they did. When an offense comes, we do know what happened. What is the lesson for us when that happens? If we can get out a few verses here, Matthew 7 and 1 through 2, if someone would get that. Okay, and if someone would get Romans 12 and 17, and if someone would get Luke 6 and 31, and 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. Now we're starting over into an area where I do know some of these things. I know what happened. Now what am I going to do to deal with it? Matthew 7 and 1 through 2.
Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
As I looked at that verse with this kind of subject, it's not saying for us to not realize when something is a sin. But to realize that, you know, when offense, it says it's offenses are going to come. And you know what? For me to realize that, you know what? I have probably offended someone else in the past myself. And I would sure, what does it say? With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. You know what? When someone happens to do me wrong or offends me, help me to remember, watch out, be real careful right here. Because the judgment that you place on this one, next week I may need somebody's mercy shown to me. And I would like to be able to have their mercy available to me. Judge not, that you be not judged. Okay, over in Romans 12 and 17.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
Okay, and then go on down through 21.
If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
You know, there's a lot of instruction in about five verses right there. Recompense to no man evil for evil. In the first place, don't return wrong for wrong. And then it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then it says, a wrong has been done now. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Give place to wrath. Why? Because there's another section that is reserved for God himself and not for me. And that is, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And you know something I'd want to be real careful about? Stephen could have said to those people that were about to stone him, I'm going to just let God take out vengeance on you. Vengeance is his. You better get ready. You're going to pay back for it. Is that what he said? It wasn't what he said. And because it steps on into another little piece. Don't avenge yourselves. Give place to wrath. Vengeance belongs to God. And do I spend the rest of my life thinking about, Lord, are you going to avenge me today, tomorrow? How about it? Instead, let me spend the rest of my life. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. So see, he gives me some instructions. When I have been wronged, I leave that in the hands of the Lord. I think about Joseph. What if he would have tried to avenge himself of every wrong that was done to him? He didn't have this verse, but somehow he had a concept. I can leave this thing in God's hands. Because we have the verse that says, I've got a peace that I want to give you. Jesus said it. It's a peace that the world cannot give you. This lesson today is a part of where that peace is. For me to be able to recognize offenses are going to come. It'll happen in 2024 to every one of us. If I want to be able to have that peace, let me be able to see, here's a place for me, here's a place for God.
Yes.
Vengeance belongs to God. And what I need to do is, if my enemy hungers, feed him. Let me look for ways that I can be a help instead of a hindrance. What is the golden rule?
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
As you would. Yep. So you dish out what you're willing to take back. That's something that I need to keep in my mind. Luke 6 and 31.
And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
That's an interesting way that scripture has been given out. Before you do to them, think about how you would want in the same situation for them to do to you. As you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Okay, then we have the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 through 7.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
So when it first starts out, it says, charity suffereth long. So just that very verse itself starting out tells me there's trouble that continues on for a little while. But that love continues on, and while it's continuing, it's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It thinketh no evil. You know what? I'm going to be busy this next year just taking care of my part of being able to, when I go through these offenses, Lord, how do I do it to where I can come out on the other side with victory? We've had this poem, I think, maybe Sister Myra gave it to us the other day. One little piece of it says, if someone should slander you, just forget it. You know, that only takes about 10 seconds to read that. Boy, it's a whole lot harder to put it into practice in our life. When things have been done that I'm able to just commit it to the Lord. What did it tell us over in Romans? It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And it says in that, if someone should slander you, just forget it. But there's another little piece. Just be glad it wasn't true,
yes.
And then forget it. Now that little piece, and then it ends up, it will pay you in the end to just forget it. Now, is that in the end of all things? It'd be worth it if I had let it go. But I think it's while I'm living here, it's going to pay me before the end if I will just forget it. What does it say? Be glad it isn't true. So I was thinking about that even the last couple days. You know, that's a good time for me to go to the Lord when an accusation comes and say, Lord, I understand the verse that says every way of a man is right in his own eyes and you're trying the heart. So Lord, what I want you to do is tell me, is there any truth in this accusation that's coming to me? What's the prayer? Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. You know what? That's the place that is reserved for God himself.
Yes.
I hadn't said a thing yet to people, but he's now searching inside of my heart where my affections are. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So before I'm just glad it isn't true, I want to ask the Lord, Lord, is there any truth to it? Lord, is there any adjustments that need to be made in me? And then when I've done that, and he gives me my approval, then I can say, just be glad it wasn't true and forget it. But you remember where it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It didn't say just forget it and don't do anything else. What does it say? If your enemy hungers, feed him. Look for opportunities to be able to help those that have offended. I've got a couple examples that I'd like for us to look at. If someone would get, and both of these are in Matthew 26. If someone would get chapter 26 and verse 21 and 22. Okay, and somebody get the same chapter, Matthew 26, and verses 31 through 33. We have two different accounts here, a contrasting, something to contrast itself. Okay, Matthew 26, 21 and 22.
And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?
Okay, look at this one right here. So he tells them, all of you are going to betray me. What does it say? Just be glad it isn't true, then forget it. What these guys said is, Lord, am I the one that's going to do it? Could it be me that's going to do it? Now let's compare that to this next one here, Matthew 26 and 31 through 33.
Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the shepherd of the sheep of my flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended.
Okay. So here's two different instances in the same chapter where Jesus is giving them some information on what's going to happen. In one of them, they're all saying, Lord, what about it? Am I the one? In the other one, he's telling Peter, he's telling them they're going to be offended. And Peter's coming back to him and says, though all the rest of them would be, I won't be one of them. You know, what I'm wanting to do is in these times where offenses come, that I would take the first route with the Lord. Lord, what about it? Is it I? Is there any place in here that I can make a correction, make an adjustment in my life instead of it's not me? So now I'd like to finish up with, I know what they did, and I maybe even know why they did it. Now what am I going to do with it? Is there any instruction? I'd like to give out a few more verses in closing. 1 Peter 2 and 19 through 23. Luke 23 and 34. And then 1 Corinthians 2 and 8. Okay, 1 Peter 2 and 19 to 23. Jesus' example for us.
For this is thankworthy, if a man of conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Okay, look at the value of this instruction. You know, it says, what glory is it if when I'm buffeted for my own faults and I take it patiently? But it says, when you do well and you suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable. Because now take a look at Jesus and the example that he left us. How that he could be told that the things that he were doing was because he was lined up with the devil, Beelzebub. But instead, you know what? He kept on going about doing good. He did not let that stop him. And it's given to us for an example. Here's another one that is the example that he left us in Luke 23 and 34.
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.
He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So did they just accidentally hang a person on the tree? No, they knew what they did. You remember, they were the ones that said, let his blood be on us and on our children. What is he really saying there? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't really realize what the plan of salvation was intended for them. What they're doing, what did he say when he wept over Jerusalem? How oft I would have gathered you together and you would not. They don't realize that they're putting to death the very thing that came to help them out. But this next verse, 1 Corinthians 2 and 8.
1 Corinthians 2 and 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have had crucified the Lord of glory.
If they would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They knew. They just didn't see the whole plan that was available there.
Yes.
If they had known... that's what Jesus, I believe, was saying at Jerusalem. If I wanted to be like a hen gathering her chicks, and you would not. If you would have known what was available for you. You know what was available for them? They were looking for somebody that would come that would deliver them from Roman rule. You know what he was coming to do? To give them peace no matter who happened to be ruling them. And I think that's available for me today. You know what I would like for Jesus to do in my life is keep me from having any troubles. I don't want anybody to come against me. I want my life to be easy. You know what he's wanting to do? Is we heard today even about bringing glory to God's name. What brings the most glory? It's usually adversity. And if we go through it in the right way, I say, Lord, help me. Because that's where people are going to be able to see Christ shining out in our life when we go through it in the right way. Remember Peter when he asked, how many times should I forgive in a day? Seven times? You know, that's stretching it right there. If a person were to do you wrong early in the morning and you forgave them and they came back, if you did it in seven times in the daylight hours, that's maybe every couple hours they did it again and they're back to asking you to forgive them. Seven times seems like a pretty big amount for a day. Instead, Jesus is telling him, not seven times, but 70 times seven. You just have a heart to forgive. Yes. Because you know what? That heart to forgive hinges the peace that I will have. I've had this in my own life in the past. I have spent a lot of time looking at what someone has done and judging the situation. And now I'm realizing, you know what I was doing? I was moving over into God's department. Yes. And it caused me to lose my peace. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place to wrath. Realize vengeance is mine. God's the one that will correct these situations. Now let me look out to see what I can do to help the offending party. And there's something, there's a couple, few more verses here. Mark 11 and 25, Matthew 6 and 15, and then Acts 7 and 60. Okay, I'll get it at the end. Okay.
Mark 11 and 25.
11 and 25.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Okay. So this one is a good one for me to carry along with me this year. When I stand praying, forgive.
Yes.
And then it'll go right along with the next verse, Matthew 6 and 15.
But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
I need to carry this verse along with me. Because there's a verse in the Old Testament, His mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
So I'm not the one to be able to know when His mercy will run out on me if I don't forgive. But what it does tell me, and I want to always keep these in mind, because it doesn't say offenses are going to come. They'll come to each of us this year. When they do, when I stand praying, forgive, with this thought in my mind, if I don't forgive, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive me.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot of peace involved in this, of just releasing it. These scriptures that we have given this afternoon about, it's not saying the party did not do something wrong. What it says is there's some things that are not in my department. Some things are. If your enemy hungers, feed him. Turn evil back into good. Avenge not yourselves. So I want to keep these in mind. I want to close with just one more verse. Acts 7 and 60. Because vengeance is going to come on this situation sometime. This is Stephen. He's about to be stoned. And just before he dies from the stoning, there's a lot of things that can come from him. He could have just used the verse, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. But instead what he did was, in the 60th verse of Acts 7, he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Well, you know what a release that was for Stephen? Instead of having pent up just before the last stone hits him, he tells him, y'all are going to pay for this. Instead, can you imagine just before the last stone hits him, he said, Lord, I tell you what, don't let this sin be on their record when they come to stand before you. You know what, that really wasn't Stephen's place to be able to do it, but what it showed was his heart when offenses had come his way. So what I'd like to remember, I've got a clean slate. It's still early in the year. Haven't had any offenses come yet, but they're coming. It says they will come. To all of us, they're going to come. Lord, help me to be able to take these verses and say, Lord, there's a peace in this that I'm responsible for. There's a peace that I hand over to God. What I'm realizing is, Lord, you're the one that judges the heart. I don't see what's in the heart. I don't know the intents of the person that wronged me. God does. But if I did know the intents, if they told me, just in case you don't know why I'm doing this, I'll tell you clearly. Now are we clear? No. Now we just move to the next step. You know, Jesus, as he hung on the cross, for him to be able to say, Father, forgive them, he had moved to the next step. He was on another level then. They knew what they were doing, and they were happy to be able to do it. And he still was able to say, Father, forgive them. At whatever level offenses come to us this year, help us to see our place. For me to be able to have that perfect peace, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It covers this area of our life. I desire your prayers. There's a song that we have, number 253. Let us ever love each other. Yes. You know, maybe we can't do it all, but Lord, help us to just do our part. Because I think there's some peace that can come from that. I desire your prayers.